Sacred soundtrack. I want to say something right at the beginning, and that I don't believe in a separation of the sacred from the secular. I think God is in all of it. The hard things, the good things, we find, we hear God. Today is going to be a playlist of love songs, but the main one is Mary's song, the Magnificat. But if you ever, and you know, there are other songs too. I have playlists. I can give you my playlist like John Cusack and High Fidelity of the top 10 breakup songs, but I'm not going to do that. Have you ever noticed how a love song can define a decade? Think of the 50s, kind of an innocent time, and don't you think maybe Debbie Reynolds singing Tammy's in Love could sum it up? Or The King, Love Me Tender. The 60s, I'm a retired hippie. It was the summer of love. And I think Jackie DeShannon summed up that decade for me. Or who can forget the Beatles? Rum pa 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 bum, need is love. Rump. The 70s, a little more cynical time, and maybe Steve Stills got it right. If you can't be with the one you love, now the 80s. The 80s was kind of the me decade. It was kind of the decade of narcissism, and maybe Tina Turner got it. Aren't you impressed I got all these bands to show up today? Now, remember the millennial malarkey of the 90s bleeding into 2000? And for me, what summed all that up was this unbearable song by Celine Dion on the Titanic. Please. Everyone's a critic, right? Here's the thing. The faith was sung to me before it was told to me. The soundtrack of my life began with the songs of my grandparents, my parents, my elders in church, my Sunday school teachers, but especially at night when my parents or grandparents would sing me Jesus songs with my prayers when I went to bed. Songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And my favorite, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. And it is certainly a miraculous moment when at 2 a.m, when my granddaughter Sophie was squalling and inconsolable, our son Jeremy would rock him with these songs our grandmother sang to us and we sang to him. God puts people in our lives to show us God's love and grace. Which voices are in the soundtrack of your life? Recently here, it was Vacation Bible School, and 500 children, angels, singing God's love songs, showing up at all our worship, and they rocked the house with love songs. My father was a church organist and choir director. He started the Bach Cantata series at my home church in River Forest, Illinois. When I was very small, my parents brought their first record player and two records, Bach's Magnificat, Mary's Song, and Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. And they tell me that I listened to these records all the time, and this was when I was just learning to speak a few words. And my father said I'd be bounding through the house singing Fugit Potentiam from the Magnificat, and then all of a sudden, ain't that too damn bad? But I think there's something which seems right in mating Mary's spiritual love song with show tunes. Because Mary sings about the real world, where the poor are lifted up, where the proud are scattered. She sings about our lives. There is nothing like a dame and Magnificat, two sides of the same coin. God is in all of it. We heard this wonderful band, and they showed up today, didn't they? Sing, you put your love on the line, washing my river of wrongs in the sea of your infinite love. Well, God put God's love on the line when he sent his son Jesus into the world. This is a love song, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's a love song. Jesus is God's love song to us. And so today I want to tell the story of God's love on the line through the love song of a girl named Mary. Today's scripture is a biography of one of the greatest love songs in the Bible. It's Mary's lullaby to the baby in her belly, and it's called the Magnificat. This biography of a love song has four chapters, and the story is told in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So this is our scripture for today. Chapter 1, an announcement. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man called Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Of course, Mary was stunned by this news. She didn't understand. But in the end, she was open to God's will. Luke records her saying, "Let it be with me according to your word." Chapter 1, the announcement. Chapter 2, a journey to share the news. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. Chapter 2, a journey. Chapter 3, a visit with loved ones. Is this beginning to sound like what really happens in your life when you hear you're going to have a baby or something cool happens or whatever? So these are two cousins pregnant. They wanted to be at the kitchen table together. Luke tells us she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Chapter 3, a visit. Chapter 4, a love song. As I read these words from Scripture, Mary's song, I want you to think about your home, our church, our beleaguered world, and everything in it. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations shall call me blessed. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Chapter 1, the announcement. The first visit was from an angel. I've been in the Chapel of the Annunciation in Nazareth, not Pennsylvania, the one in the Holy Land. And in the crypt chapel, there's an altar. And on the altar are carved these words in Latin, verbum carnum factum est. The word was made flesh. God became human, God con carne, God with flesh, the real God to be with us in our own flesh. Only there was one other little word written there that could only be written there, a little Latin word, verbum carnum hic factum est. The word was made flesh here. And it just hit me. All that explosion of divine compassion, grace, and love, so often unrequited love for this creation that God wanted to restore and remake, all that love, hic, here, in this one horse Galilee town, in the belly of this woman, hic, here, in this world, not some other one, the real flesh for the real world, in real people. Which, of course, means we can talk about the hicness of God, the nearness of God. For you see, Naperville is the Holy Land, hic. Your home is the Holy Land, hic. For you see, God is that real, that close, that embedded under the skin of our lives and our communities. Hic, God is near. Hic, a street corner in the Bronx. I'm driving past my former cathedral, Yankee Stadium, and come to a red light, Fordham Road. There's a guy with a squeegee and some towels waiting to do my window. He comes to my window and says, he sees my collar, my pastor's little piece of plastic, and he says, Jesus Christ, Father, I ought to be giving you money. I said, yes. He said, Father, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God bless you, Father. Well, he was the angel Gabriel announcing the presence of God to me that day. I pulled over, got out. Tell me about yourself, I said, and he did. He told me about what happens with too many young black lives in a place where the vision is so low that they spend more money for prisons than for school per capita, but also his own choices, addictions. What gives you hope? I asked him. And he told me about a love song from his grandma. He said, my grandma took me to a river in North Carolina with our Baptist church, and I was baptized. He said, that gives me hope. Mary was singing for him that day. He will lift up the lowly. He will fill the hungry with good things. I want you to think about the announcements of your life. A baby getting down on one knee. A promotion. Think of the times in your life when you were reminded of God's presence in the world, not somewhere else, in your world. Hic. Chapter 2, a journey to share good news. So two pregnant cousins want to share their joy. And make no mistake about it, the little detail that she went to a Judean town in the hill country is worth repeating. Galilee, Nazareth are up here. Judea's down here. Samaria's in the middle. That was an arduous journey. But when we get good news, we want to share it, don't we? It said that she went with haste, and that was picked up later by the shepherds with hearts filled by the angel's announcement, came with haste to find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. There's a sense of urgency here to share that news. So we took a long journey from New York to Tanzania. In Bushasha, Tanzania, that was our companion diocese. Like you have companion churches globally, Good Shepherd, and I understand that two of our missionaries from here to France to start a new church are back with us today, the Reniers. And so just remember, you are a part of this global, this drum beats for you. Anyway, when you're in Bushasha, Tanzania, you hear your welcome before you see it. The drums, the singing, the dancing. Our Range Rover pulled up. We went through a lot of woods and forests, and they cut a trail for us. We're on the road, and then in the clearing, the people were waiting. And they sang a love song to us in Swahili. Karibu, karibu sana, welcome and welcome again. Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. They didn't have a church building. We saw the rubble. It had been bombed by Idi Amin in that war with Uganda a few miles away. They couldn't afford to rebuild it. And so we met and worshiped under a tree. They sang and they danced us to the place. They told us, and this was a very, very poverty-stricken part with many hungry people, that they had saved their food for weeks to give us a feast. But then they promised the people in the village, some who were even more hungry, that they would have a feast today as well. And so before the communion liturgy, and this is the fastest growing church, Tanzania, Lutheran church in the world, I had the privilege of baptizing 28 children of God. And then as people brought forward, everyone brings something forward to the offering, an egg, a goat, sugar cane, bananas, whatever they have, everyone gives something and everyone eats. As I was lifting up the bread and wine, Cecil B. DeMille could have filmed this. As I was doing that, people started coming down from the village, down into the valley, as we all gathered to eat. Mary sang for all of us making that journey. The poor will be lifted up. The lowly will be lifted up. The hungry will be filled with good things. Mary sang for us that day. Chapter 3, the visit. Of course, the angel appeared to Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth, announcing the babies. But remember when Zechariah heard the news that he and Elizabeth, let's face it, they were old, were going to have a baby. Zechariah didn't believe it. And he doubted it. And he said, he laughed. And so God did something kind of interesting. He shut him up. He was mute. And he would stay mute until the time when the baby came. The baby then, when he first words he could say then were, his name is John. Anyway, I'm glad that when Mary and those kicking babies met at the table that Zechariah was there. Because you see, there are days when I mail my own faith in. You know what I'm talking about. There are times when we have our doubts. There are times when we just aren't as sure as we wish we were. There are times when we wake up in the middle of the night and we hear the clock ticking and we wonder, is this it? Is there more? We're at the table with Zechariah. It's okay because God is in all of it. God is in our doubts. God is in that time when you're a caregiver for someone and you can't keep doing it. God is in those times when we feel like we're losing touch with people we love. God is in our lives. God is here, especially when we're mute. And we know at that table that there's new life kicking. We can't see it yet, but it's there. This God comes to visit us today, and this God's mother sings for us when we are the lowly and when our hungry hearts are filled with good things. Who has refreshed your life, your faith? What are the love songs in your soundtrack? A street corner in the Bronx, September 11th, 2001, evening. Maria had made it from the 50th floor of the second tower, escaped with her life, covered with soot, which we know now was also our brothers and sisters. She made it to her apartment, her housing project, by the Cross Bronx Expressway. She said, people were out there milling around like sheep without a shepherd. She said, I can't just stand here. She told us that she went up to her apartment. She got a bunch of candles. She lit them and handed them to her neighbors, and they started singing a love song that our grandparents sang. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm alone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. Chapter 4, the song. My soul magnifies the Lord. Mary wasn't the only one to sing for this baby. Remember, the angels sang to the shepherds, didn't they? Gloria in excelsis. We sing these love songs every Christmas, away in the manger, silent night. We sing to the baby too, joining Mary. When Simeon met Jesus and held Jesus in his arms, he said, Lord, now your servant can depart in peace. I told you my first grandson, John Paul, was born in Tanzania, and I'd never met him for the first 4 or 5 months of his life. I remember when his birth, though, was announced. Don't you have those times when, like Mary, your soul is so magnified? Maybe it's when you tuck one of your babies in at night. Maybe it's when I, in an unguarded moment, look at my wife, Janet, and my soundtrack comes on. She's from Detroit. She's here. And we listen to Motown. And I told a friend once, if I don't marry her, I'll never be able to hear Smokey Robinson again sing Tracks of My Tears. And I think Van Morrison got it right. So my brown-eyed girl and I, the other day, celebrated our 49th anniversary. But you know what I'm talking about. Those times when our hearts just fill. And we remember those who were the part of the soundtrack of our lives, who shared their love songs with us. So John Paul, all I knew of him was, my screensaver and pictures on the refrigerator, and then I'm standing at the airport, Kennedy, waiting for Tim and Aaron and baby John to come out, and my hands kind of formed a cradle. And they came out, and they put this lump in my arms. And he kind of woke up, and his hands went like this. He was the conductor of my universe. All those songs, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Mary sang, surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Think of all your loved ones. Hick, in your life. Think of them here now because they are. We're going to come to the table. And this altar here is going to be crowded because you see Mary and Elizabeth and their babies will be here. Those who sang you love songs and who have gone to the Lord are here. The ancient liturgy says it beautifully. With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in every time and every place. The next song you hear will be, "Let My Life Be a Love Song," one that's written in your truth. Let my life declare our victory in you. And so whether we are mute Zechariahs today, whether we have the certainty of faith that is so deep, when we're thinking of people we've loved and lost, come with the soundtrack of your life. Open up your hand and receive God's love song, Jesus. Hick, here, now. Amen.